In this series, Revelation, Not the End Times, get a deeper revelation of who God is through the prayers that He gives us in the Bible.
Welcome back to our series on Revelation, and I'm not talking about end time, but I'm talking about revelation, God opening up our eyes and spiritual ears to hear and to see. We've been looking at Ephesians, the prayer in Ephesians, and I just want to encourage you, this is the third of our series, and I want to encourage you to, if you've missed the others, go back, review them. I think the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, which we're going to look at in this series, is so important for us. When I read it, and I've read it hundreds and hundreds of times, the more I read it, the more I spend time. That's why I wanted to do this series, because I look at it, I go, this is exactly what we need. I don't care where you are in your walk and your journey with the Lord. I don't care how mature you are or how immature you are. We need a greater revelation of who God is, and we need a greater revelation of who we are in Christ. That's what the first two sessions are about. The second one, what I'm going to do here is I want to read this prayer, and then we're going to talk about this next part. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now that was the first part, the first of the series, talked about God wants us to know Him, not just to know about Him. He wants us to know Him. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's the Spirit who lives in us. Then verse 18 says, the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes, one translation actually says eyes of your heart, would be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling. So again, we talked about it in the second series, the second one of the series, how important it is to understand that God has called, He's called you, He's called me for this time. There are no mistakes. He made us male and female, and He put us here, and He put us in the place that we're in so we can, again, represent Him. So there's no mistakes on His part. We need revelation, and that's what the eyes of your heart being enlightened is actually the definition of revelation, that the lights would come on, that we'd be able to see and understand, wow, who He is and who we are in Him. Now, this next part I want to talk about in this particular session. It goes on to say that not only would we know the hope of His calling, and then it says, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Huh, that's interesting. We are His inheritance. Now, anybody would know that to receive an inheritance, somebody has to die. And the reality is that somebody did die, Jesus. He died. But there's an inheritance. When He died, not only did He receive an inheritance, and we are His inheritance, which is special, but verse 11 of chapter 1 says, in Him. Again, this is our position of really being, understanding who we are. In Him, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. So what He's saying here is that not only are we God's inheritance, but we have received an inheritance too, again, because Jesus died. The good news is Jesus is not dead. He was raised from the dead to live forevermore. But because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we actually have received an inheritance. So do you know what you've inherited? The Bible is full of promises. We've been given all kinds of things, and we need to go here. That's why the prayer is so important, because God is saying, look, you don't really know who I am. You don't really know who you are. You don't really understand what you've inherited. And in this next session, we'll talk about we don't really understand the power that's available to each and every one of us. So it's like, okay, how are we going to get this? Well, it's by the Spirit, again, and through the Word. It's Spirit and truth. It is not just truth. It's not just Spirit. We have to have both. We need Spirit and truth. So I just want to talk about some of these things. There is no greater position There's no greater thing in the world than to being called a child of God. There is nothing greater than being a son or a daughter of God. Nothing. You could be the president of the United States. You could be the chairman of the board of a major corporation. You could have this wonderful, phenomenal ministry. But the reality is that once you grasp the reality that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus, the creator of the ends of the earth, chose you and me and has called us a son or a daughter. Wow. There's no greater position. There's no greater place that we could be. So our inheritance begins with really fully comprehending and receiving the reality that we are children of God. And like I said before, there's no greater calling. There's no position that you could earn. That's why it has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with prestige. It has nothing to do with placement. It has to do with receiving the reality that Jesus said, I chose you, and call us a son or a daughter. Isn't that amazing? Now, but there's so much in here. And I want to draw our attention. I want to look back up in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 3. And I want to walk through this because this basically is an outline of showing and telling us the things that we've received. So it starts with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Now, that word places is actually added in there, but it's basically saying, look, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Everything. Well, what is everything? Well, I don't know, but everything. Every spiritual blessing, we're blessed. I don't need to do something to try to get blessed. I am blessed. And talked about that before, but the reality is that, no, I am blessed. Because I'm blessed, I can be a blessing to others, but I don't do anything to get blessed. I am blessed. It's a mindset that God is trying to get us to understand. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Wow. Everything. There's nothing. He's had not held back anything. He says, if I didn't hold back my only son, how will I not give you all things freely? He said that actually the Romans passage says, not only did he not hold him back, he actually delivered him for us. So God has given to us everything. There's no holdback on God's end. Therefore, we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. Those blessings are in Christ. That is our inheritance. We are in Him. Verse 4 says, He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So He chose us. I mean, I always wanted to be chosen if I was in a skit or if I was in some kind of a play or if we're playing outside as a kid. You want to be on a team, you want to be chosen. Well, God says, I chose you. The King, the living Almighty God said, I choose you. And we need to receive that. We need to receive it. And I'm not being something foolish or silly. We've been chosen. I've been chosen. You've been chosen. He chose you. God chose you. Isn't that amazing? You may say, well, I don't feel chosen. Well, you may not have been chosen by everybody. You may have been rejected by many people. But I will tell you, the only one vote that counts, He said, I choose you. And so we need to receive that. That's part of our inheritance. I've been chosen by the King. I am not an outcast. I have been chosen, called to be holy and without blame before Him in love. And this is not talking about my performance. He has called me out of darkness and brought me into His realm. And I am holy and blameless before Him in love. Again, please hear me. I'm not talking about that I'm not saying that we shouldn't act right, but there's a revelation that God wants to give to us is that I am holy and blameless before Him in love because of what Jesus has done for me. It's not based on the whole new covenant, is not based on my performance, it's based on His performance. And what Jesus has done is an absolute, complete, and total work. And that's what we're going to look at here. Verse 5, that having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Isn't that amazing? It was according to God's good pleasure. He delighted in this. So what did he delight in? Well, he predetermined, and I don't believe predestination means that you're predetermined to either receive Christ or not receive Christ. No, he predetermined at the very beginning that if we receive the gift of life, we're in. We've been adopted. It's not like, okay, now let's see if God will accept us. No, he predetermined before the time began to make a way. So for us, if we will receive the gift of life, we're in. We've been completely adopted. I'm not rejected. I'm not exiled. I'm not on the outside. No, he said, if you'll receive a gift, you're in. Guaranteed, you're in. And that's what he's saying here. You've been predestined to adoption. He didn't just say, I'm going to give you a ticket to heaven. He said, I'm going to call you my son or my daughter, and I'm going to embrace you and bring you in, and you're going to be my family. Isn't that amazing? I mean, I grew up in church, and I would say that I believed that I was saved going to heaven. But I pictured myself as probably, to be honest, and maybe many of you do too, as man, I'm really not worthy. You know, I sort of messed up here, messed up there. I had a bad temper when I was a kid, say bad words and do things. And I realized that compared to a lot of people, that's not very much. But I felt like I was probably unworthy. And I believed I was going to heaven, but it was like, you know, I can come on the property and be on the porch, but I'm not sure I really can come in. As the Bible says, to come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy in time of need. No, I didn't feel that way. Well, the reality is that's what this is saying. It's saying, no, you're not just a ticket to heaven. You're not just a name only. No, you have been adopted, brought into the family, fully, completely embraced and loved and accepted. Wow, isn't that amazing? I'm not rejected. You may have been rejected. I'm not rejected anymore. I'm special. And that's not a cocky, arrogant statement. No, I'm special because he says I'm special. I am his object of his love. Isn't that amazing? And we need to embrace that. That's part of our inheritance. And it's according to the good pleasure of his will. He delighted in this. Verse 6 says, for the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Wow. So we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We've been chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless. He's predestined us to adoption as a son and a daughter. And the praise of his grace, the glory of his grace, he's made us accepted in the beloved. Isn't that amazing? He did it all. Jesus paid in full for us to have a complete inheritance in him. There is nothing short in his inheritance. There is nothing left out. I got it all. I got everything. And you know, there's enough to go around for everybody to share and have the same amount. There's no end on God's end. There's no limit. It's like saying, well, if you've had an earthly father or mother or grandparent that died and you received inheritance, it's usually pretty limited to what it is. If there are a lot of heirs, you got to divide it all up so there's not much, not in God. There's no limit. So he says, we've been accepted in the beloved, brought in, embraced, blessed with everything. Verse 7 says, in him we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, the word redemption is an accounting term. It actually means that the penalty or the price of redemption has been paid. So when we were born, that's why we need to be born again. Because when we were born, we came out with a little tag on our toe that had a price tag. We were born in sin, and unfortunately, we couldn't pay it. There's no way for us to pay that, make that payment. Jesus understood that, and that's why he came and lived for us and died on the cross. So he paid the redemption priced for us to be paid for, completely delivered, completely saved, completely the power of sin and death to be broken in our lives. And what does that look like? We've been forgiven completely, absolutely. Of all sin, the payment for our sin was made. The redemption price, Jesus paid for it. Actually, the truth is that he took our punishment that we deserved. He actually died our death that we deserved. So the redemption price he paid, and we have forgiveness of sin. I don't think we fully understand the power of what this is saying. Part of our inheritance is that I've been forgiven. Part of your inheritance is that you've been forgiven. Some of you watching this right now will recognize that there's a residue in most of us, like, I don't know if I'm really forgiven. I know you keep saying that, but there's that I feel shame and I feel all this stuff. No, you've been washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. He sees you differently than you see yourself. That's why it's so important to recognize that our inheritance, it's been paid for. If somebody died in your family and you received an inheritance, you go to the bank or you go to the whatever the institution and you say, my loved one has died and here are the paperwork and I get to receive everything that they left for me. Correct? Well, Jesus went to the cross and died for you, died for me, and he's gone to the right hand of the Father and he said, it's all yours. Everything that I have is yours. And that's our inheritance. So you've been forgiven. And it's so important. In fact, I'm going to take just a moment right now. I'm going to pray that God would make this so clear to us, because I'm telling you, so many of us still deal with guilt and shame that basically says, well, I did something, or something was done to me, or I shouldn't have done this. But we can receive forgiveness. Now, to receive forgiveness, you have to forgive. So you need to forgive those who've hurt you, forgive those who abandoned you, forgive those who abused you. Really, it's the grace of God that forgives us, and therefore we need to forgive others. So I want to just say a short prayer here, because this is not all the inheritance, but this is one key thing to receive your forgiveness and at the same time release those who've hurt you. So Father, in the name of Jesus, we are so grateful and thankful that you forgave us. You forgave us a debt that we couldn't pay. And I pray now, Lord, that you'd help us all forgive. Because forgiveness is such a powerful expression of your love. I pray, Lord, that every person watching this or maybe listening to this would search their heart and really choose to forgive. It's a choice, not a feeling. It's a choice. We choose to forgive. We choose to love. We choose to bless. We choose to let go of the hurt and the pain associated with what people have done to us. And we choose to bless those who have persecuted us. And we release them. So right now, in the name of Jesus, you may need to verbalize and say, I forgive so-and-so. I forgive them by name. Forgive a parent. Forgive a loved one. You may need to actually forgive God. Sometimes we get angry with God and feel like that he's let us down. God's never let us down. He's never left us. But I just encourage you, the power of forgiveness is the power of love in action. God is love, and love never fails. And so he wants us to receive the fullness of his inheritance, and he wants us to walk in the power of his forgiveness so that we can then forgive others. I cannot, and you cannot, give away what you've not received. But if you've received forgiveness, then you can extend forgiveness. And it's a choice. You have to choose to do it. So I just encourage you to do that now. So God loved us. This is our inheritance. It's just a little brief pause in the middle here. But he goes on to say he's made all of this abound toward us in spiritual wisdom and prudence and understanding, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. Now, the reason I just think about this, I encourage you to go back and read this first part of Ephesians. What you're going to see is that all of this was done God's good pleasure. He delighted in this. I mean, I can see him delighting in the work that he did so that we can come in and embrace him. I mean, that's what it says, that he, according to the good pleasure of his will, in verse 5, he made us accepted. Verse 7 says, according to the riches of his grace, he made it abound toward us in wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. Do you hear what the scripture is saying? Jesus delighted in going to the cross and dying for you and for me. So we could receive an inheritance. The inheritance is him. We get it all. The truth is, we get all these benefits, but the true inheritance is that the wall of separation has been broken, the veil has been torn, and we can now have relationship with the living God. No residue of the past, no I've got to perform, it's all what he did. Wow, isn't that amazing? I mean, what an amazing inheritance. I can go on and on and on. The Bible says we have peace with God through the blood of the cross. We have, it says that we have his joy. I mean, it calls us to have his protection. His presence is promised. I mean, we have so many things that are in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 says we're a new creation. We've been reconciled to God. We've been made righteous. I mean, we can go on and on and on, but everything we're talking about here is our inheritance that he paid for. Now, please hear me. We didn't earn it. Do we deserve it? I don't know. He says we do. He makes the decisions. Jesus came and lived for us and died for us and was buried and raised from the dead. And he says, because of that, you have received inheritance. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that God would make this so real to us. I pray that you would go back and read this in Ephesians, but pray this prayer, because God wants to reveal it at deeper levels in every one of us until we really start, not only do we receive it, but we start walking totally different because of what he has done for us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Holy Spirit, who's the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you would reveal to us, not only who Father is, who we are in Christ, and help us to understand and apprehend all of the inheritance that you paid for at the cross. I pray now for everybody that's watching and listening. Help us, Lord, to really understand that we have received everything. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You've given us all things that pertain to godliness through the knowledge of you. You've not held back anything. So I'm praying, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to cause this to come alive in our hearts. We ask for revelation. Revelation of our inheritance that we have in you. Revelation that we wouldn't skip anything, wouldn't leave anything out, but that we would fully and completely embrace everything that you, Lord Jesus, paid for. So I'm just praying that you, Holy Spirit, would come and help us to apprehend everything that has been paid for. Lord, we love you. We are so blessed and so grateful and so thankful. And we love you and bless you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray you're enjoying this series, and I just want to encourage you again. Go read the prayers in Ephesians 1, and we will come to eventually the prayer in Ephesians 3 also. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for being a part of this, and I pray blessings upon you. God bless you in Jesus' name.